Then I just saw two things. I saw a fishing hook, like a nice shiny hook underneath the water, but there wasn't anything on it. There was no bait. I wasn't arse off me. There was no bait on this hook. I was like, that's strange, but I just feel maybe it's a word for somebody that if it looks like a hook, it is a hook. And it sounds pretty strange, but I don't know if there might come up an opportunity in our life or something, and the devil is just trying something. But it's so obvious that it's not God's will, so just be careful. Then the Holy Spirit will rhema that in your heart. Just be careful. If it looks like a hook, it probably is a hook. And God will reveal to you if it's not of the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, just for discernment to know what is of you, what doors are from you and what is not. What words are from you and what is lies. And then just another thing is when God shows me wings, it talks about faith. That's just the way He usually reveals it to me. And I saw like this white bird. It's amazing. But the one wing got hurt. It's like a burnt mark. And the bird subsequently just flies in a circle. And I feel it might be for three people here. That your faith has been hurt. Your faith got knocked. Your hope got knocked. Your faith got knocked somewhere. You got hurt some other time. And it feels to you as if you're just flying in circles. You're not going forward. It's not that forward momentum. Maybe just close our eyes quickly. And if that is you, if you feel that maybe some other time, spiritually speaking, your one wing got really hurt. And it's as if you can't get out of the spiral. You can't escape of this. Why don't you just raise your hand and we can pray with you for healing. I know this is a bold move. There's three people. Can I ask that you guys come to the front and we can pray for you? Thank you. Wel gedaan. Baie geluk. Wow. Koneti. Lord, we just, you're connected to him, you're one, so I'm just going to lay hands on him now. Lord, we just thank you. Wow, thank you, Lord, for awesome news. Lord, thank you that you will just speak to them in this time. Lord, we ask your hand and your blessing. It's already there. We thank you for your hand and your blessing over this little one, Lord, this young one that you've given them. Lord, we just thank you, Father God, for God, just the prophetic way in which you started to speak to them even before they knew they were pregnant. Lord, we ask the blessing over their marriage, their union, the covenant between them and you, Lord, and especially this young one, Father God. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, but I just hear the word warrior, Lord. May they be a warrior of love, Father God. May this first little person be a warrior of love for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, that you bless her or his parents as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, awesome news, Al. Thanks, guys. That was awesome, Dad. Yeah. Say, Lord, do whatever you want, Lord. Just don't let me cry. Just be careful what you pray for sometimes. But we say, Lord, we want it to be real and keep it real. And then he does. You get a bit of a fright. But anyway, sure, I just realized in this moment that we're not busy with stuff. We're busy with stuff. And for those of you guys who are visiting, we're not always that melodramatic, so please bear with us. But what I just realized in that moment, and as we prayed for these three people that God laid on my heart, he had on his heart, is I realized, guys, that the battles we face, we're not, is this spill? Life is not the bullets that we sometimes face, and that's in fact what I'm going to share with today, is that it's actually live ammo. People actually really get hurt. We need to look out for one another and trust God, because he knows exactly what's going on. He knows if that broken or hurt wing. He knows of the bullet that is connected, unfortunately, with your heart. And I'm going to share on that right now, because I believe God's speaking into this area in our life. But let's stay in prayer and let's look out for one another. And I just want to honor those three who God has put up their hands. Let's stay accountable as well. There's one thing that I've learned in the years, more than a decade or so, that I've been with the Lord and saved, is that, man, it helps to be walking in the light. Whatever. Sometimes it seems like such a menial or small little thing, and it's got a massive effect on your life, and it keeps you bogged down, and that's just the enemy's ways. But anyway, I'm maybe as an intro doing my whole sermon, so let's just get back to the schedule, and let's pray quickly. Lord, I thank you that... Lord, that you just make things practical. I ask you, Lord, to make it practical, and didn't expect it to be that practical. But thank you, Lord, that I can just in that moment, I just know that you've got a real compassion for those of your children that's hurt. And thank you, Father God, that it's not just a little story. It's not just mere fun and games. Yes, there's joy. Yes, there's love. Yes, there's abundance. Yes, there's amazing moments. But sometimes there's a reality check that... in this world we will suffer, but we can take heart because Jesus has overcome, so the word says. So Lord, we just pray, Lord, that it might be a weighty subject today, that we will see your life, we'll see your love, and we'll see your will in all of this, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that like you've just dropped in my heart so many times. Thank you, Lord, that as life, the story of life, the story of this world, Lord, the story that we know as our reality or life, Lord, you know the ending. And we know in faith that it's a good ending. Lord, we know that in spite of what goes on or might have gone on in seasons gone past, thank you, Lord, that we know that the end of this story is a good one. It might be still a while or it might be close by, but we know that the end of this story will be a good one. And that's the God we serve. That is the God we serve. That is the God that I serve. The one that knows the ending of this story. Not only my story, but Edna's story, Frida, Sophia, everybody that I see. God knows the end of the story. We believe it's a good ending, and thank you for that. Lord, I pray that our faith today will not be based on my word,
of the demonstration of your Holy Spirit and power life in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Now we've been, just before I recap, I'd like to now and again just recap what God has been doing the last couple of weeks. So we just not hop around, because I believe there's seasons, or we know there's seasons, prophetic seasons, seasons that God is busy with us as a congregation. He's busy with you as an individual. There's a certain life stage, age, and stage where you act spiritually, emotionally, and God is busy with you in your life. But for us as a congregation, there's one or two things that God might be saying to us as a congregation. And that's why I like to recap, just so we know that we're all on the same page. Now, today's message is faith. It's about faith, and I just titled it Fighting Fit, and I'll tell you just now. And as I said earlier, especially for those of you who are visiting, it might seem like a bit of a weighty subject, and even the approach thereof, but sometimes we need to take stock. I think myself and Stephen spoke to Stephen, just sometimes prophetically, or what's been happening in our life, and in the seasons that you've gone through, it's sometimes good to take stock and see where your heart is really. Is there still a pulse? Where's the spiritual health really? And it's good to do those checks now and again, and you'll see just now why. 3 weeks ago, Edna shared a message on entitled PUSH. Now, PUSH is just an acronym for Pray Until Something Happens. Sometimes we use a oskik gebeki and forget to realize that there's a battle, spiritual battle. And there's actually an enemy that doesn't want God's ways and God's kingdom and God's fulfillment of His words and promises and prophecies in our lives to come to pass. With all due respect, if you just step outside, you just open up the newspaper, you just switch on the TV, you'll see that God's kingdom is not coming everywhere. But greater is He that is in us than he that lives in this world. And it is, if anybody should see that God's kingdom can come on earth, hello, it should be us. It should be us. We said a couple of weeks back, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, kind of a supernatural thing, kind of massive, kind of probably one of the biggest things in humankind, the history of humankind, is the raising of Christ. And that was done by the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us. Yet the enemy would love us to forget that. Yet the enemy would love us not to walk in that. And that's why we sit sometimes in a season where your faith got a bit knocked, where you got hurt. Edna shared the following: we can carry the promises of God like a mother carries a baby. And that was a very nice picture. God gives life, but we have a vital role to play. So if God gives you a word, or there's a promise in the Bible where He just speaks, ramas it in your heart, you know, this is for me. You take it. It's almost like a little seed inside of you that starts to grow, becomes a baby. And 9 months later, Spirit is speaking, you have got to see this promise come to fulfillment in your life. Not really 9 months. Sometimes, as He said, it takes much longer. But the promises of God needs to come to fruition. We need to see it made manifest in our life. We co-labor with God in prayer to bring promises to fulfillment. What do we do when we pray? We check. We chat. We talk to God. We're not all staunch religious about it. We're saying, Lord, we're in this world. It's a rough place. But we know your heart. We know your kingdom. And if your will be done, it's much better, Lord. How can we get it done here in my life and in my church and my community? We do that through prayer. Align or position yourself through obedience for God's purposes, waiting and testing to use His character. Sometimes there is a battle and we need to push through in prayer until breakthrough comes. It's awesome to receive a prophetic word. You'll go to the nations. It sounds amazing. And just in that moment, you feel like, excuse the, but you feel like $1 million. And it's just an amazing moment. God spoke to me. He said something to me. Like Joseph had a dream where he saw in a dream the symbolism of his brothers and his mother and father bowing down to him. Awesome dream. Wake up. Wow. I'm the bee's knees. Yet he did not expect to go through a season and seasons of preparation, of character building, of tough, fiery situations until he came to a place in Egypt where he was actually in charge and where that work came to fulfillment. Likewise, as a little seedling in a mother's womb, it's awesome when it happens. On a scan, you can't hear anything, and then all of a sudden, you go for a scan, you hear the heart. It's very exciting. But 7 or 6 months later, it's not that exciting, at least not for the mother. She's uncomfortable. She's stretched all over. It's difficult. And she's not necessarily fitting into everything that she usually fitted into, both emotionally and physically. And yet, the same is applicable for us as humans and as Christians in following the Lord. It's exciting to get that promise, get that prophetic word. You go into the nation, but then there's a preparation. Then there's seasons. There can be decades of preparation. And my heart is just this, or our heart, we believe God's heart is this, just don't give up. Don't stop. Then I shared, and it wasn't an awesome sermon, but I won't repeat the whole thing, but I think it's necessary just to lay the groundwork quickly today. There comes a time where a mother just says, well, I've had enough. Let's zip this off. I just want to go home. And yet, I believe Christians does that as well. Lord, thank you for this word over my life. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to see the nations come to you, Lord, or whatever it might be. It might be you're going to own a home. You're going to have a great job. You're going to own a car. That might be the promise. But at this stage, there's a pressure because the enemy doesn't want that to come to pass. The enemy doesn't want the kingdom to come to pass in your life. And there comes a moment where there's pressure, and then you need to push. Then you need to say, I'm in this for the long haul. And then I spoke to Hope, to you about Hope last week. You will stick to God's plan, process, and storyline. Will you stick to God's process, His plan, or His storyline? He's saying, hey guys, are you going to stick to what God is doing? Quickly going to read to you part of what I read last week. Romans 5, you know the scripture. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our affliction. Imagine that. We also rejoice in our affliction. Have you been afflicted lately? Have you gone through affliction? We also rejoice in our afflictions because we know that affliction produces endurance. And endurance produces proven character. Proven character. And proven character produces hope. Not lack of feelings, not butterflies, not kili-kili. Proven character produces hope. And then my translation, the Holman says, this hope will not disappoint us. So we run around, well, if I meet Steve Sunny on the white horse, the camel man type of guy, if he comes and sweeps me off my feet, and if I'm a lady, not if I'm a dude, please, hear my heart. But if he sweeps me off my feet and he's got a big fat cash amount in the bank, and he's got a nice fat credit card, and he's got a AC Benicia. If I've got this hope in my heart of fulfillment, my life will be, I'll probably just be distraught at the end of the day. So you can go on with millions of things where people have a hope that it may be not of God. And just quickly, lastly, we said to each other, what is the hope that you're actually carrying around? You're pregnant with something, was that actually of God? I shared to you, and I'm not going to share it again today at least. I was a lawyer for 7 years. We moved out to Malmesbury, going to move to Riebeek, thinking that if we've got the simple life there, children running around with earth child clothes, a nice SUV, maybe a place to see, and then we can serve the Lord if everything else is sorted. We had this carrying this hope of a lifestyle. God came and He just took that away. By His grace, not in a moment, He didn't rebuke us. He just chiseled over that out of our hearts over a period of 5 years where we realized that we were carrying a hope. But this was maybe a false hope because it would never lead us to true contentment. If I'm going too fast in recapping, I'm sorry, but that's just the foundation for where we are. Is that we've got awesome promises in our life, we've got hope, we carry hope in our life, but let's just double check, is it of the Lord? Use scripture, use a couple of friends and say, man, I really have this hope that God does this in my life, or I believe this is the calling of the Lord in my life. This is the hope that I'm carrying. Please just pray with me. Because why are we saying this? I believe God does not want us to be afraid. He's not a spoiled sport. He doesn't want you not to have a good career or a car or whatever the case may be.
But he just does not want us to be afraid.
Hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Proverbs says,
hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And there we end off, more or less end off last week, and just saying to each other, hey guys, we've got hopes, we've got awesome plans for the future, let's just double check with God the Lord that we don't get to a place where we get hurt. And guess what? Most people get offended by God. And this is the honest truth, plain and simple, God is never wrong. So, where in my life I had hope deferred, my heart almost grew totally sick at some stage, I had to go back to the drawing board and say, Lord, well, where did I have a cross? Where did I carry something that I made my own, that I thought maybe kind of off your buster can be a sport? But it was not of you at all. And God free that's of that. Moving into this week was a very long intro, I know, but luckily the rest of the sermon won't be that long, we hope. Today, I'm talking to you guys, and I'm just going to share on faith. And faith and hope goes together. With the amount of faith that you do have, it creates the hope that you have in you. And they go hand in hand. And I said, the Lord dropped in my heart to talk about faith, and I said, what about faith? And I just couldn't get to it. So I was just waiting on the Lord, because faith is so wide, you can say so many things, there's so much to say about faith. But I didn't get the answer until a couple of days back, and I'll tell you about that now. It's quickly a foundation. We've laid one foundation and just saying, hey guys, we've been speaking about the stuff that we're carrying. Can we push through and say, Lord, we want to see your kingdom come in our lives? He said that we do carry a hope, but we want to keep to the hope that God gives us, the one that will not disappoint us. The one that we cannot say, well, God, well, we're people. Hierin may disappoint, my family may disappoint, the kerk may disappoint, God may disappoint, because we've got a hope based on God and God's way. Okay. Quick foundation concerning faith today is this. I grew up in a traditional church, and the first time I heard this verse in Afrikaans, I had the fright of my life. It was probably somewhere in Ilar school. And it wasn't preached. I just read it, or I heard it somewhere, and I was probably around standard, grade 2, grade 3. And I heard the gist of this, and I had the fright of my life. And nobody ever spoke to me about that until I was somewhere in my 20s, where that after I got saved for the first time. What am I talking about? The mere fact that the reality that we are facing here, the material things, the things that we can touch and see, is not the only or the true reality that we live in. There is a spiritual realm. There is a geestelijke realm. I know for some of us that might even be a bit weak now, but if you've been with the Lord quite a long time, or if you've been in and out of charismatic churches or circles or ministries, it would be quite obvious. But for me, it wasn't that obvious, and nobody ever spoke to me about this. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And it was like, it was all in Afrikaans, and it says, but the U.S. is dead, and hoekom het ek nog nooit daarvan gehoor nie? And I was a little boy, and I got the fight of my life. I never asked a question about it. And now and again, when I would think of it, I just thought, well, what is this stuff that you can't see that's somewhere in the air or out there, demony and weird? My people perish because of a lack of knowledge or vision. So I just didn't know. I didn't ask the question, but I had a bit of a thought. The truth be told, even though I didn't understand it, or even though I didn't know about it, did not take away the reality that there's a spiritual realm. If you want to go on with your life and just do it like everybody else does it out there, and just focus on the material things and the physical realm, you're more than welcome, but it does not take the spiritual realm away. God is spirit. We were made in His image and likeness. It does not, you cannot wish, you cannot think it away. You might go to somewhere else where they don't preach about it, you're more than welcome, but it doesn't take the spiritual realm away. Now, I was fearful because I did not know Christ at that moment. I did not know who I can be in Christ. I did not know the Word of God. And I did not know the reality of the authority that Christ has in the spiritual realm, both in heaven and on earth. So I just want to say, don't worry. There's nothing to fear about. But the reality that the spiritual realm does exist is what's totally weird to me. And I'm actually, it's a pity that for my kids, they're 2 and 4, and they're quite well versed and they're equipped of knowing and at least in the process of learning these things. I wish I had that. Next verse, please. For though we live in the body, we do not wage war in an unspiritual way. Since the weapons of our warfare, in other words, the battles that we face, are not worldly. Other translations is carnal. It's not physical. It's not fleshly. The weapons of our warfare, the battle that we face, is actually spiritual. But are powerful through God for demolishing strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. So, Stephen might be the guy that Skinner's behind my back and then comes and tunes me in an email, and he just hates me and despises me and just gives me grief. And the way in which I react can be the following. I actually originally come from Belleville, so I can take my knuckle busters, and I can take my white beater t-shirt, and I can walk over to and a baseball club, and I can walk over to his place. I can kick down his door, or I can try 3 times. If it doesn't fail, I can knock, and when he opens up the door, I can say, "Who's it now? Who must sort it tonight?" It's great to my emails. He's really written me an email, but it's not that bad. So it's a bit of a sensitive joke, but where am I? And I can tune him and I can tell him, well, check he saw my knuckle bus and check my baseball bat, X438. He's actually originally from Somerset West. You guys have a bit of a fighting culture over there as well? Not at all. Okay, great. So can he fight Ben? The bottom line is that I can get into a massive fight and it can just grow and it can just become this whole awful ordeal. Well, I can just realize what is truly happening here. It's that my battle is not carnal. My battle is, this is just a stupid example, but my battle is not against Stephen. It's not against, if I hit him however hard I can on his face and he hits me back and probably kicks my achter in, the battle will not be won there. The battle is either won or lost in the spirit. And that's what God is saying. That's what Jesus has been saying all along, and he said that you need to be reborn, you need to be born spiritually so that you can become spiritually minded. So what are we saying? What is the foundation we're laying? Hey guys, there's a spiritual realm, and that is the true reality. And on the basis of that, on the foundation of that, we're going to look at faith today. I'm not going to go into the details of the scripture, and if anything is unclear or weird or freaky, let's chat about it. I think as charismatic, sometimes we think, well, everybody's just sorted out, and it's not weird to them at all, because we've come a long way with it for a couple of years. But if it's French to you, let's chat about it so that you can be at ease, see yourself seated in Christ, know and understand the spiritual realm the best you can, and work from there. But that's just the foundation we quickly needed to lay, that, hey guys, our fight is not carnal, it's spiritual. There is a battle, but it's a spiritual one. It's not merely fought physically. There's a manifestation that can obviously happen to you. Let's move on. Please. How does this battle work? Just very quickly. There's the Lord on the one side and the enemy on the other side. The Lord is obviously the one that enables us to walk in truth. And then the other side, we have the enemy, and what is his weapons? What is his way? What is his modus operandi? And it is the following, John 8:44. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there is no truth in him. There's no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. Of liars. But he is the father of lies, obviously, as well. So that's what you're dealing with. If there's a battle, a spiritual battle, that's what you're dealing with lies. With lies. The father of lies. And second to that, he's also an accuser. Revelation 12. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. So we fight a bit. We fight not a physical or carnal battle, but a spiritual battle. And who's the battle against? Against the devil, the father of lies. What does he use? He uses lies. What does he use it for? To accuse. Constantly accuse. He hates the anointed. He hates the sons and daughters of God. He just constantly accuses. Constantly accuses us before God. My question to you is this. When he comes as a lie, when he comes to accuse, when he's just doing what he does, what do you have to say? He comes to Edna and says, Edna, in the script, doesn't rock up, he doesn't make a big fanfare, sometimes he does manifest it that way, but just a thought. In Jesus' name, we're not speaking this over you, it's just an example. You reject it. And in fact, you're not being good. No, that's a lie. We went to a wedding and I told her, probably in the most in the last 10 years, I think she looked last night. So let's just keep the brownie points at a good par level. But the devil comes and he says, well, you rejected, you're not very good. The reaction in our heart, the reaction in the mind, the reaction in the spirit would be what? In our heart today, it's just, Edna, we can eat some to say. Don't have to answer, but do you have something to say to the accuser of the brethren, to the father of lies? Do you have something to say to him? What should you say to him? Do you have of the truth? Do you have of God? Do you have of Christ to give him some of his own medicine? I said today will be very simple. We needed to lay a foundation. It's very necessary, I believe. But the message is very simple. And it's very practical, which I believe makes it quite nice, hopefully. I'll ask you in a week's time to remember it. He comes to you in a court of law. I said, law, I didn't do criminal law too much. Praise God for that. But he gets into a place and he accuses the brethren. He accuses me and you. He gets into a court of law. He says, okay, great. He swings his accusation. And now you sit there. What do you have to back it up? What do you have to guard your heart? What do you have to fight this battle with? Hebrews 11:1 says the following. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. What are you using the court of law to win? What can I get? Bevisa. Evidence. You use evidence. The devil comes with his accusations in the court of law. Just using symbolism here, obviously. He comes and he accuses you. Do you have evidence against the lie? Do you have evidence against the lie? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things. Evidence of things. Didn't I hear this is the morning? The devil said it. Yeah. So argue yourself. You're not pretty and you're rejected. So that's it. Might sound weird, but that's an area. Rejection is an area in my life where I got attacked like 6 love for very long. And now and again, I need to fight against it as well. So let's be kind of open to that. But what does she have to say? What is the belief in her heart? What is the faith that she believes? I said earlier, what does God want me to share about faith today? And I believe it's merely this. What's the following slide? Just what's the one next to it? Ah, there you go. I couldn't find a real one. Edna's brother, actually, he's got a heck of a lot of swords, but he doesn't have a shield. So I said, get a shield. That's a shield. What do you use a shield for? Protection. What do you guard? What do you protect with a shield? Your body, yes. You've held in front of you, your face, your mind, your area around, it's inside. What is quite precious is in here, physically speaking, your heart. What do you use that thing for? To protect your heart. Very simple picture, but a very profound one, I believe, if looked at scripture. You all have read through Ephesians 6. It talks about the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, shoes of readiness to declare the gospel. All spiritual picture. Real stuff depicting spiritual truth. We're not going to go into the detail. I'll save you from that. We're not going to go into the detail, but I think we can in the future. The sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. The last one is the shield. Simple, but I believe it's very profound and very necessary thing to look at. When protecting your heart, when protecting your life, when protecting your thoughts, when protecting your relationship with God, when protecting the promises and the hope that you have. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it, you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, quickly, let's look at what is the flaming arrows of the evil one? Who is the evil one? What was his name just now? The father of liars, or the father of lies. Okay? So that's the evil one. What did he use in Revelation? He used to accuse us. With what? With lies. So what is the flaming arrows that the evil one throws at me? Lies. Not rocket science. It's really very practical. But he just shoots lies. How many times a day, or how many times a month, or how many times a decade or a year should you pick up your shield of faith? Every situation. Every situation. Who's ever seen a straatbraak? A pavement special. A winky that your net nie wil uitlos nie. None of you have ever, Annelies, she's not here. My mother and father might have done so. But I've jogged a lot in Malmesbury while staying there. But believe you me, I don't think, except for Brakpan, there's any place that people own that many dogs in the vicinity or the square kilometer like in Malmesbury, but luckily they're all fenced in. But in some places where you jog, there's a little brakkie that will just not leave you. He might not kill you, but he will irritate the living daylight out of you. He will go for your Achilles the whole time. And he'll take you from just your purpose in going forward. And I believe like that little brakkie will not leave you alone. The enemy is like that with his lies. So what did we say? He's an accuser, and he's a father of lies. He shoots arrows. Flaming arrow. Have any of you in the natural realm, the physical realm, the carnal state that we partly find ourselves in, have any of you ever been shot by a flaming arrow? I might have been one, but that person was probably killed. But it's not fun and games. That's why I guess there was a couple of tears earlier. Because we can make fun and we can joke about winkies, but there's a real battle, a real spiritual battle, and there's real flaming lies and accusations flying around, killing brothers and sisters, killing promises, killing hope that God has placed in hearts and in lives. And it's somehow that just been going like that for quite a while. Now, I said it's a bit swar, but it's not all doom and gloom, but sometimes we take stock and we just face that. Hey man, there's a rechte fight. And hey man, hulle gebruik rechte bullets. It's a real fight and they use real ammo. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it, you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. In every situation, take the shield of faith. That's why I said, are you fighting fit? I know some of us said, but if life is tough, moet jy dan ons nie oor iets ligter chat by kerk. But we need to ask. Otherwise we lose brothers and sisters to the kingdom. We lose the calling on
people's lives, we lose the promises that God has placed inside of our hope.
There's little babies, there's hope, there's stuff that God wants to birth. He wants His kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven, in and through our lives. But there's flying, there's flaming, flying arrows going around, and we need to make sure they don't get to them.
I said it's very practical, and I hope practical to use as well.
Question that the Lord just dropped in my heart, we're not too far from the end. It's just, do you know how much that is worth that you have to get?
I think that's why we laid a foundation. For me, I just didn't know about the spiritual realm. And in fact, if somebody said the word demon, I would have a major fright as a young guy or a young boy or a child or later on as a young man. Because I did not know what they were talking about.
And likewise, and the flip side of that is that spiritually, I did not know how much that which I had to protect was worth. I think some people have been so hurt and dead, spiritually dead, their hearts have been so hard for so many years that they don't even realize what they missed. The Edna example. Let's not use Edna, but it's something similar. A little girl that was just rejected by her mother or father, maybe not even wanted, got into school, and the enemy just kept on pounding her by the same flaming arrows. You're rejected, you're ugly. Rejected, you're ugly. Rejected, you're ugly. Later on, her peers, in her teenage years, rejected, ugly. Didn't have a father, didn't have anybody to care for. Went to high school. Luckily, there was one teenage, not luckily, she thought luckily there was one teenage guy that wanted to meet her and know her better, but it was only with lustful intent. And at the end of the day, she gets more hurt by that. He tells her at the end of the day, well, you're not worth much and you're ugly, and you're rejected. That goes on in life, and she meets her husband in the same turn of events, the same circle just keeps on pounding and pounding and pounding. To a certain degree, where this person is just totally dead inside, and they have no idea what they should actually do. They don't think, they don't feel that there's anything worth protecting. That's the way of their life. That's the way of their season. God can let anything work for the good of those who love Him. He can reverse anything. He can renew your youth like that of an eagle. And I'm standing in the front of the queue. We thought, ek was rot en kaal gesteel. I took part in a lot of it because of sin. Let me not take as if I'm kaal and skuldig. But the bottom line is God is crying because of her children, and He wants to come and restore. He wants to come and bring back. But we need to start taking up our shield. There's the next picture of a shield. That's great shields. How does your shield look like? You can't really see too good there. The one in the middle is freaking cute. It's a small boy with a carton of a cardboard shield. And it looks very cute. But maybe spiritually some Christians are walking around with cardboard shields. Yet there's fiery flames going through that thing and shooting them to pieces. My question is just to you. What does your shield look like in this stage of life? I've discussed it with you guys before this. We went through a stage of life in Malmesbury where we didn't have any income or much income at all. So we literally lived from day to day financially. Which if you told me that 10 years before I would have died, I would not be able to make it. If God took us through that, and the fiery darts of the enemy came, the lies and accusations came just pounding day by day. And it hurts. The accusations, the rejections, the self-esteem that's shot to shreds, etc. It just the lies came in pounding until what? Of one of them, God just revealed to me the truth in Matthew 6. Don't be anxious. He will look after you like birds, like the flowers of the field. He will look after you. And don't worry about tomorrow, because
tomorrow is enough trouble of its own.
You cannot serve God and mammon. Nice thing to send on an SMS, nice thing to put on a WhatsApp, another thing to lift it up and fight for your life. I was luckily enough to have gone through that, but there's other areas where my shield is maybe not that strong. Bottom line is just this, and that's what we're quickly going to pray for afterwards, is that, Lord, show me the fiery darts of the enemy. Psalm 91 says, the arrow that flies by day. Show me the enemy's weapons in my life, so that what? I can have a strong, solid shield. Please, you understand? You know, Magara. My time's almost up. So that I can build a shield that can extinguish in every situation those fiery darts, those lies of them. In this, I believe the Holy Spirit is just reminding you of that thing that's been pounding you. It can be for 13 years. It's just been pounding you. And you're like, God, where are you? And he's just like, pick up your shield. God is very gracious. He was so gracious to us in that period. It wasn't like he just like, word groot. No, not at all. He took us step by step. He was very gracious. He was like that father, die kaartjie. Is dit 'n pietie? Is dit jou Bybel? Lees dit, ek gaan vir jou sorg. Jy gaan eet, moenie worry nie. En jy het reg genoeg reserves, so ontspan. Sit in die kaartjie, trek uit die kaartjie. Daar's hy. Okay, volgende keer bietjie groter. Druk die geldjies ook in. Ja, mooi. He's like that with us. He's slow to anger and he's faithful, he's gracious. So we will take you by the hand and he'll help you with that. But you need to be willing. You need to say, Lord, yes, man, these darts have hurt me so much I don't even feel. Please come and heal. And then, Lord, this needs to change. There's some of us, I believe, that needs to draw a line in the sand. Because the devil doesn't use new tricks if the old one's been working. Why come with a new fiery dart if the old one has just been successful for so many years? Some of us need to draw a line in the sand and say, Lord, please. In some areas, my faith is like that cardboard shield. Not worth much. I might just flash it to my friends and say, well, look, I'm all fist-licking all. But in the inner room and in the heart and in the day-to-day pressures, that thing is not standing up against the fiery dart. It is the lies of them. Lastly, how do you build it up? It's very easy. It's very easy. It's the Word of God. The Spirit of God. The Logos and the Rhema Word of God. You need to build up that faith of you. You've got a massive court case and you don't have much evidence. You go research. You go research. You look at old case law. Because, see, where's there been a decision like this before? And you go and get them. You get an expert to say, look here, you're an expert on this. Come and give some evidence. We've got eyewitnesses. We've got reports. We've got whatever. But you've got a lot of stuff that you can use as evidence to win your case. If the devil comes with a lie, if he comes with a flaming dart that's been hurting you, been stealing from you, and even, I believe, yes, in some cases, trying to steal your calling from you, you need to gather some evidence. You need to gather some evidence to have a solid shield so that those things cannot get to you. And I believe this is not only for us individually, but you can also lift up your shield, obviously, for your children. My wife and I, we need to take up our shield in marriage. The devil can come with a lie. And you know the lies that's flying around, the fiery darts that attacks the unity of marriage, the sacredness of the marriage bed, the mindset, the heart. You know the attacks, you know the lies. So we together need to work on our shield. What is God's word? What is God's word saying about us? What is He reigning? What is He saying to us? So that those things come up. He's the father of all liars, and He's the accuser of the devil. He shoots fiery darts. We give Him no credit whatsoever. But we've got God, and we've got Ephesians 6, and we need to pick up those shields of ours.
going to read that scripture once again. We're going to pray with you.
In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it, you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All the flaming arrows of the evil one. That song? All the flaming arrows. Let's close our eyes and let's pray. Thank you, Father God, that you give us, through your Son, the grace to be born again. To be born spiritually, Lord. To have your Spirit reside in us. And then by your grace, Lord, you open up our eyes to see, not merely carnally, the things of this world, but the things of God. And Lord, for the world, the things of God, the things of the Spirit is foolishness. I thank you, Lord, that you strengthen us. You show us the deeper things in the spiritual truth of situations and of life. Lord, we ask that you even broaden our perspective, broaden our horizon, Lord, spiritually, through your Holy Spirit and through your Word. Lord, may we not be ignorant of the things of the Spirit. May we not be ignorant of the true place and the true origins of each and every battle we face. Lord, even the stuff in our emotions and minds, even the stuff that manifests to other people, Lord, in seasons of our lives, or reoccurring in seasons of our lives, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will just come and touch our hearts and just show us the true origin of that thought. And then, Lord, we ask, Lord, the grace, Lord, that you will give us faith, stir our faith in, through your Word and through your Spirit, Lord, that you will show us through the Scripture the truth of Christ, the truth of our authority and our position in Christ, to be able to lift up shields of faith in every situation, that when a lie comes, we know the truth. When a lie comes, we have the evidence of faith against it. When the lie comes, we know Christ and his identity. When the lie comes, we know God and who He is. When the lie comes, that we know that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us and cries out, Abba, Father. But when the lies come, Lord, we know that it's no longer us that lives, but it's Christ who lives in us. Holy Spirit, you know where the enemy might have been founding some of us lately or in the season of our life. So, Holy Spirit, in this moment, Jesus, we'll just come and give discernment so that we know what it is that the enemy has been saying, so that we know that we can raise up the standard of faith in our hearts, in our lives. We want God just to help you tailor make and chisel out this great shield in your life. If that's your heart, just raise your hand. God can come and help you. And I'll pray over you. We pray in faith. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these hands. And I pray, Lord, that as they say, Lord, I'm eager, that you'll come and teach us through your word. That you'll teach us in prayer, Father God, and that you'll give us the things to lift up, the words of the scripture, the truths to lift up against the fiery God. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one of these hands, mine included, Lord, my family included, Lord. I pray that you will help us to establish these shields in our lives. And lastly, Lord, I pray that you will also give us the strength to lift them up when we're tired. And Lord, that I can speak over us as a congregation of our families, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We plead the blood of Christ over us. Lord, there's grace. There's grace. You need not have this thing perfect. Thank you, the devil will not come with a curveball and say, well, you don't have a shield, so I'm just coming in. No, Lord, you're a good dad that looks after us and teaches us your ways and tools us, Lord, in your ways. And so there is a grace to us as well. So I pray for a grace over us, but also pray so we can grow in our shield, grow in our faith. Thank you for that. Thank you for a grace over us as well, Lord, as you take us to place it solid, of a solid shield in faith.
Jesus. feel this pressing in my heart, so I'm just going to step out in faith. I feel there's a lady here this morning that your health is being founded on. Like, I don't know from when. It was like health issues, one sickness or one thing after the other, and it's an area where you kind of started to accept this thing. So if there's someone like that here this morning, if you can just come afterwards and we can pray with you, and that God can break that cycle for once and for all. Because there is freedom and there is, there is breakthrough in that. So we just want to pray with you.
So there's a chance for you guys. The cell leaders will be here. I will be here. Edna will be here. Come forward, please. There's many things in life that the enemy has maybe used for many years, but there's a place where God wants to raise the standard and give you the necessary faith to extinguish those. So please take the moment to come and pray.